Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and here Mezekas Yavamas Daf Lamed Ches, the fourth parak Acholos Avimto. So the three dots we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states Shomer's Yavam Shenafla Nechasim. If a Shomer's Yavam inherited property from her father, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree Shomecheres V'Nosenes V'Kayam that she may sell it or give it away, and the transfer stands. Mesa, if she dies before Yibum is done, what is done with her ksuba and the nechasim nichnasim yosim ima, with the properties that enter and leave with her, referring to nechasim alug, which is property the husband has the right to use during the marriage and keep whatever crops or income it produces. Beis Shammai say, yochalok yorshe abal in yorshe av. The husband's heirs divide them with the father's heirs, but Beis Hillel say, nechasim becheskasim, the property stays with the one who possesses them. The ksuba is in the possession of the husband's heirs, and the nechasim alug are in the possession of the father's heirs. Kansa ki ishul chadavar. If the Yavam married the Yavama, she was like his wife in all matters. Bovad should take ksuba nichse baharishna, except that the chiyuv to pay the ksuba rests upon the first husband's estate. Point number two, the Gemara asks, what is the difference in the reisha and the seif of the Mishnah, in that Beis Shammai agree with Beis Hillel on the reisha that the woman has full possession of the property she inherits, and Beis Shammai disagree in the seif that the husband gets part of the property? Ula said, in the reisha she fell to Yibum when she was an arusa, meaning her first husband died after he was makadosher, and in the seifa she fell for Yibum as a nesua. And Ula holds, zikas arusa osa suffolk arusa, zikas nesua osa suffolk nesua. The zika of an arusa makes her like a suffolk arusa, and the zika of a nesua makes her like a suffolk nesua. The Gemara explains that Ula holds a zikas arusa osa suffolk arusa, for if he made her like a vadai arusa, it was taught in the Mishnah Ksubas that when property falls to an arusa, Beis Hillel holds she is not allowed to sell Chedchila. And in our Mishnah here, Beis Hillel does permit her to sell it. And Ula holds that Zika's Nesua Kasafak Nesua. For if the Zika made her like a Nesua, then how could Beis Shammai say if she dies, the property split between her heirs and her husband's heirs? For the Mishnah Ksubas teaches that if a woman tries to sell property she inherited after she became a Nesua, the husband has the right to take them back from the buyers. So we see from here that Zika's Nesua only makes her like a Suffolk Nesua, and that is why the property is split. And point number three, Rabbah challenges Ula and holds that both the Reisha and the Seifa deal with where she fell for Yibum as a Nesua, and agrees with Ula that a Zika's Nesua, Kasafik Nesua. In the Reisha where she's alive, she has a Vadai claim to the property, and the Yavam has a Suffolk claim, since she's only a Suffolk Nesua. Vein Suffolk Motzmite Vadai. And a Suffolk claim cannot take money from the hands of one who has a certain claim. In the Seifa where she died, both the heirs of the father come to inherit and the inheritors of the husband come to inherit, and both have Suffolk claims. Therefore, Yocholoku, they divide the money. Rashi explains that according to Beis Shammai, as a Suffolk Nesua, she's either like a Nesua and the Yavam inherits, or she's not a Nesua at all and the father inherits. Therefore, the property is divided. Beis Hillel hold that since the father's heirs are definitely in line to inherit the property, and the property is already in the hands of the family before the Yavam will come to make a claim after the death, the property remains with those who already have a chazak in it. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Shomer's Yavam Shenafla Nechasim, if a Shomer's Yavam inherited property from her father, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree Shomecheres V'Nosenes V'Kayim, that she may sell it or give it away, and the transfer stands. Mesa, if she dies before Yibum is done, what is done with her ksuba and the Nechasim Nichnasim Yosim Ima, with the properties that enter and leave with her, referring to Nechasim Alug, which is property the husband has the right to use during the marriage and keep whatever crops or income it produces. Beis Shammai say, Yochalok Yorshe Abal in Yorshe Av. The husband's heirs divide them with the father's heirs, but Beis Hillel say, Nechasim Becheskasim. The property stays with the one who possesses them. The ksuba is in the possession of the husband's heirs, and the Nechasim Alug are in the possession of the father's heirs. Kansa ki ishul chadavar. If the Yavam married the Yavama, she was like his wife in all matters. Bovad should take ksuba nichse bal harishna, except that the chiyuv to pay the ksuba rests upon the first husband's estate. Point number two, the Gemara asks, what is the difference in the reisha and the seif of the Mishnah, in that Beis Shammai agree with Beis Hillel on the reisha that the woman has full possession of the property she inherits, and Beis Shammai disagree in the seif that the husband gets part of the property? Ula said, in the reisha she fell to Yibum when she was an arusa, meaning her first husband died after he was makadosher, and in the seifa she fell for Yibum as a nesua. And Ula holds, zikas arusa osa suffolk arusa, zikas nesua osa suffolk nesua. The zika of an arusa makes her like a suffolk arusa, and the zika of a nesua makes her like a suffolk nesua. The Gemara explains that Ula holds a zikas arusa osa suffolk arusa, for if he made her like a vadai arusa, it was taught in the Mishnah Ksubas that when property falls to an arusa, Beis Hillel holds she is not allowed to sell Chedchila. And in our Mishnah here, Beis Hillel does permit her to sell it. And Ula holds that Zika's Nesua Kasafak Nesua. For if the Zika made her like a Nesua, then how could Beis Shammai say if she dies, the property is split between her heirs and her husband's heirs? For the Mishnah Ksubas teaches that if a woman tries to sell property she inherited after she became a Nesua, the husband has the right to take them back from the buyers. So we see from here that Zika's Nesua only makes her like a Suffolk Nesua, and that is why the property is split. And pointing with you, Rabbah challenges Ulan holds that both the Reisha and the Seifa deal with where she fell for Yibum as a Nesua, and agrees with Ulan that a Zika's Nesua, Kasafik Nesua. In the Reisha where she's alive, she has a Vadai claim to the property, and the Yavam as a Suffolk claim, since she's only a Suffolk Nesua. Vein Suffolk Motzmite Vadai. And a Suffolk claim cannot take money from the hands of one who has a certain claim. In the Seifa where she died, both the heirs of the father come to inherit and the inheritors of the husband come to inherit, and both have Suffolk claims. Therefore, Yocholoku, they divide the money. Rashi explains that according to Beis Shammai, as a Suffolk Nesua, she's either like a Nesua and the Yavam inherits, or she's not a Nesua at all and the father inherits. Therefore, the property is divided. Beis Hillel hold that since the father's heirs are definitely in line to inherit the property, and the property is already in the hands of the family before the Yavam will come to make a claim after the death, the property remains with those who already have a chazak in it. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Lamed Ches, and our standard simmon relates to a Davar Lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup to make it more distinct. So here goes. When the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, since she was an Arusa and Zika's Arusa, Kasafik Arusa. And even if she had been a Nesua, Zika's Nesua, Kasafik Nesua, and the rule is, Ein Safik Motzi, Midei Vadai. All right, this definitely counts as one of the toughest simanim, I admit, but here we go again. When the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe, chicken soup, that must mean we're on daf, Lamed Ches, a Davar Lach. When the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Shomer's Yavam should nafal in the chasim. If a Shomer's Yavam inherited property from her father, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Shomecheres v'nosenes v'kayim, that she may sell it or give it away, and the transfer stands. They disagree if she dies before the Yibum is done in terms of who inherits her ksuba and nixei malu. So, when the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, since she was an Arusa and Zika's Arusa, Kasavak Arusa, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, what is the difference in the Reisha and the Seifa of the Mishnah, in that Beis Shammai agree with Beis Hillel on the Reisha, that the woman has full possession of the property she inherits, and Beis Shammai disagree in the Seifa that the husband gets part of the property? Ula said in the Reisha she felt a Yibum when she was an Arusa, meaning her first husband died after he was Mekadosher, and in the Seifa she fell for Yibum as a Nesua. And Ula holds Zika's Arusa osa Suffolk Arusa and Zika's Nesua osa Suffolk Nesua. The Zika of an Arusa makes her like a Suffolk Arusa, and the Zika of a Nesua makes her like a Suffolk Nesua. So when the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, since she was an Arusa and Zika's Arusa, Kasafik Arusa. And even if she had been a Nesua, Zika's Nesua, Kasafik Nesua, and the rule is, Ein Safik Motzi, Midei Vadai. Which reminds us, Rabbah challenges Ula and holds that both the Reisha and the Seifa deal with where she fell for Yibum as a Nesua and agrees with Ula that Zika's Nesua, Kasafik Nesua, in the Reisha, where she is alive, she has a Vadai claim to the property, and the Yavam has a Suffolk claim, since she's only a Suffolk Nesua, Ein Safik Motzi, Midei Vadai. And a Suffolk claim cannot take money from the hands of one with a certain claim. In the Seifa where she died, both the heirs of the father come to inherit, and the inheritors of the husband come to inherit, and both have Suffolk claims, therefore, Yocholoku, they divide the money. So once again, when the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, since she was an Arusa, and Zika's Arusa, Kasafik Arusa. And even if she had been a Nesua, Zika's Nesua, Kasafik Nesua, and the rule is, Ein Safik Motzi, Midei Vadai. All right, now it's time for four blabach chazora. Daf Lamed Dalet. So the simmer Daf Lamed Dalet is a ladder. So here goes. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're in Daf Lamed Dalet. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, eating chalev that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, which reminds us. The Gemara here asks, who is the tanu who holds that two prohibitions take effect upon a single item, whether it's through an Isser Kola, an Isser Mosif, and an Isser Basachas? And reviewed a set in the name of Rav, that's Rabbi Meir, for it was taught in the Mishnah. Yesh ocha achila achas v'chai v'leo arba chatos v'asham echad. There's one who does one act of eating and is chai for four chatas offerings and one asham. The case is a tummy person who ate chalav, that was noser, from consecrated offerings on Yom Kippur. Remer says that if it was Shabbos and he carried it out in his mouth before swallowing, he would be chayav a fifth offering. So we see from here the Remer holds of all three types of prohibitions, including an iser basachas. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chalav that was noser, that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, who does Rabbi Meir rule in accordance with, given that he holds that the two men who accidentally switched wives should bring chatas offerings? And answers that he holds like Rabbi Yezza that holds a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah chayiv. Alternatively, it could be that he rules even in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, who stated his position that a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah pater in the case of circumcising babies on Shabbos, this is manu bohu, where a person's time is rushed, since there's a mitzvah to circumcise the baby on the eighth day. If he erred in that situation and circumcised the wrong baby that was not meant to be circumcised on Shabbos, he's pater. But here in the case of marrying the woman, his time is not rushed, since there's no specific day that he must marry the woman. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chalav that was noser, that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, to the horror of its mother who had gotten remarried 10 years after her first husband's death. Which reminds us, when Rabin came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, any woman who waited after the death of her husband 10 years and then remarries can no longer bear children. Rav Nachman said, they did not teach this rule except when she did not plan on remarrying, but if she did plan on doing so, she can still become pregnant. The Gemara brings the case of Rav Chisda's daughter who bore children to Rav 10 years after the death of her first husband, Rami Bar Chama. Daf Lamed Hey, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Hey is the children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's choir, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hey. La la la. The children's choir joyfully singing at the Gyorsa's Chasna the day after her conversion, which reminds us all women who had relations and then want to remarry need to wait 3 months, except for a woman who converted as an adult and a shipch who was freed as an adult. When the Gemara suggests the Rabban should be gozer for these women to wait as well, since it's common for them to have illicit relations, it answers that Shmuel is going according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a Gyors, a Shvuya, a captive woman, and a shipch do not need to wait 3 months. Abai explains the reason they do not have to wait is that a woman who engages in znus inverts herself after having relations so that she does not become pregnant. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gyoris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door where two daughters of Kohanim got switched to their chuppas and became Pasalti Truma. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had said, Imhayu Kohanos Nipsul Mina Truma. If the calls were daughters of Kohanim, they are Pasal from the eating of Truma. Rava said that the Mishnah is teaching that if they were daughters of Kohanim who were married to Yisraelim, they are Pasal from eating Truma from their Kohanic homes. Rashi explains that even though a Bas Kohen who was violated while married to Yisrael is not prohibited to her husband, if he were to die, she would not be able to return home and eat Truma. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gyoris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door where two daughters of Kohanim got switched at their chuppas and became Pasal to eat Truma, while a guest who was pregnant and had done Chalitza was rushed out and tragically miscarried. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas a Marayim in the beginning of the fourth paragraph regarding one who does chalitza with a pregnant woman and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the brother since the chalitza is now seen to be valid, whereas Reish Lakish says she does require chalitza again from one of the brothers since the first chalitza was not valid. The Gemara teaches that Malchokas is going to be explained based on Psukim and on Svara.
Daf Lamed Vav, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes.
The lulav salesman, lulav, that must be more in Daf Lamed Vav. The lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted to the kahuna, which reminds us the reason why a woman couldn't have a chalitza done in a case where a husband and her tsar went overseas and they came back and reported their husband was dead and it's not yet known if her tsar had a child is not because chalitza is mu'uberes loshma chalitza, a chalitza of a pregnant woman is not a valid chalitza even if she miscarries. Rather, it's because perhaps the tsar had a viable child, and it will come out that you'll require an announcement that she's fit to marry into the kahuna. It would be declared that her earlier chalitza was not effective and she's not a chalitza to be forbidden to kohanim. The Gemara clarifies that we're concerned that if someone was not at the announcement, they might come to think we're permitting a chalitza to a kohen. So the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted at the kahuna because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away. Which reminds us, Rava says the halacha goes according to Reish Lakish in the case where a father signed over his properties to his son to be acquired after the father's death and where the father retains rights to the produce. If the son sold the property during his father's lifetime and the son died during the father's lifetime, Reish Lakish says, the buyer has acquired the property upon the father's death, since kinyan peres lavka kinyan aguf, the ownership of the rights to the produce, which the father still had, is not considered as if he still owns the land. So the lulav salesman missed the announcement that a certain woman who did chalitza was in fact permitted at the kahuna, because he was jumping for joy that the sale of the lulav farm he bought from the farmer's son was still good when the son suddenly passed away, after being told he had to give his yavama divorce because he did yibum prematurely, risking violating the iser of eshazach. Which reminds us, if one marries his yavama and she's found to be pregnant, if the child is not viable, he keeps her as his wife. The Gemara here brings a brice with an opposing opinion that taught, in the name of Beleza, they said, Yotzi beget, he must divorce with a get. Rashi explains that even though the yibum is valid since the child was not viable, the Rabbanim penalized him and required divorce because by marrying the yavama who was possibly pregnant, he risks violating the Deraisa Isser of Eshazach. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, that must be more on Daf Lamed Zayin. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hayam Beis had said that if a child is possibly the nine-month-old baby of the deceased brother, or possibly the seven-month-old baby of the yavam must divorce the yavam, the child is kosher to marry a Jew, and they're chayav to bring an ashen taliyah. On this stuff, Rav Nachman explained that even though the majority of women give birth at 9 months, making this the child of the deceased brother, and the yavam and yavamah who have transgressed the isra of Eishas Ach, making them liable on a chatas, since most women who give birth at 9 months are showing at the first trimester, in this case of the Yavam, her fetus was not noticeable at 3 months, and therefore Yisrael Eruba, going according to the majority in her case, is weakened with respect to her. So, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for 1 day, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how Rav and Rav Nachman could marry women in the place they visited and then divorce them when they left, and there was no concern that their children would unknowingly marry each other. So, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for 1 day, who left to go back and judge an inheritance case involving a Suffolk child and a Yavam. Which reminds us, the first of 8 cases dealing with disputes in inheritance is the case when the Suffolk child and the Yavam come to take possession of the estate of the deceased brother. The Suffolk child says that he's the son of the deceased brother, and therefore the estate is his. The Yavam claims that the Suffolk child is his son, and that he has no right in the estate. So this is a case of Mamun HaMutu B'Suffolk, money that lies in doubt. And since both sides have legitimate claims, Mamun HaMutu B'Suffolk Cholkin, money that lies in doubt, is divided between the parties. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.